In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. You may be seated. I have a very simple message for you this Ash Wednesday. Keep the goal in mind and keep things simple. What's one of the hardest things in life and in the spiritual life? It's to keep the goal in mind and to keep things simple. What is the goal of Lent? The goal of all fasting, all confession of sin, all reading of Scripture, all acts of mercy to the poor. What's the goal? Can there be any other goal than the great commandment that our Lord Jesus taught us when He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Every instruction in Scripture, it hangs on this commandment to love. That you love God first and with everything you have, and secondly, that you love your neighbor as yourself. It's not complicated. It is the hardest thing you'll ever pursue in your life. You won't fully attain it in this life, much less by the end of Lent. Hardest goal of your life. But it's not complicated. A few weeks ago, we heard a crash in the middle of the night. Always alarming. We were relieved to find that it was only a picture frame that had fallen. The fastener that was attached, that we attached to the wall, it wasn't strong enough to bear the weight of the frame. And finally, it gave out. At 3 a.m., of course. There is only one commandment strong enough to bear the weight of all the commands that the Lord gave us. Only one commandment to hold everything together. To hold you together. To hold your heart together, to hold your neighbor together, both for this life and for the life to come. Love the Lord first and with everything you have, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Enjoy baking bread on the weekends. If you bake bread, you got to learn the baker's test to see if you've sufficiently kneaded the dough enough before the rise stage. And this is called the window pane test. You hold up the kneaded dough up to the light and stretch it. And if you can stretch the dough to form a transparent square, if light comes through, you've got enough gluten and you're all set. If it breaks when you stretch it, you got more kneading to do. If your Lenten disciplines don't form a window pane where you can see the goal, Jesus' great commandment of love, it may be time to make an Ash Wednesday adjustment as Lent begins. To keep the goal, the focus. Lose this commandment. Lose this essential among all essentials, and you lose the simplicity of the gospel and the simplicity of Lent. The call goes forth on Ash Wednesday for us to take up our cross and follow Jesus. But remember why Jesus took up His cross. Jesus said in John's Gospel, He took up His cross so that the world would know He loves the Father. And He also said He took up His cross to lay down His life for His friends, for sinners, and even for His enemies. Greater love hath no one than our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lent is here to make us into lovers. Lovers of God, lovers of our neighbor. Take one Lenten discipline that we emphasize a great deal here at Apostles. Confession of sin. What is the simple goal of confession? It's to make you a lover of God. It is to make you into one who loves your neighbor like a second self. If I'm only confessing my sins just to feel better about myself, well, then I'm still self-focused. So when you go to confession for the love of God and for the love of your neighbor. Self-love, that's my disease. Now, it can present in so many other symptoms, but that's the root of the thing. Self-love. It's not complicated. Hardest thing to uproot from my heart. But that's the essential problem within. It's love of myself instead of and more than loving God first. Instead of and more than loving my neighbor as myself. It's ever so easy to take holy things and then to make them about myself. This is why we hear the prophet Isaiah rebuke Israel's practice of fasting. It is why we hear Jesus teach his disciples in Matthew 6 to practice prayer, fasting, and almsgiving in secret. Jesus knows, as Jeremiah said long ago, that the heart is deceitful above all things. Put holy things in our hands, and we can just make it all about ourselves. Whether that means to keep up appearances, to use them to bring attention to ourselves, to feel better about ourselves without making any real change, to love ourselves. It's what the saints of old called vainglory. And the saints of old, they understood that the greatest problem is self-love. And what does self-love do to the heart over time? It calcifies the heart. It can harden the heart. And that is why we hear the Lord call Israel, as a whole people, to a repentance of the heart. Speaking through the prophet Joel, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Yes, one of the greatest dangers of the spiritual life is a hardening of the heart. In Lent, especially in morning prayer, we pray Psalm 95, which includes the calling, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, as in the days of temptation in the wilderness. Oh, we must guard our hearts from being hardened toward the voice of the Lord. We must guard our hearts from being hardened toward our neighbors, all of our neighbors. My brother and sister, I'm burdened and I'm heavy-hearted about a hardening of the heart in our nation towards refugees and immigrants, our immigrant neighbors. This is a matter that needs our attention as American Christians entering this Lenten season. Now, the matter of forming immigration policy, that is undoubtedly a complex matter. But the matter of forming the Christian heart towards immigrants is not. Nor is it a subject on which Scripture is silent. Before this was ever a matter in American politics, it has long been addressed in Holy Scripture with plain and simple instruction. Remember Deuteronomy 10, verse 19. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. I remember when I came to Apostles in 2007. Some of the scriptures impressed on me most as a young priest at this young church then were verses from Deuteronomy and the Psalms about the Lord's love for the fatherless, the widow, the orphan, and the stranger in the land. Inasmuch as we are called to love the immigrants and the refugees among us, we are also called to love and respect those in positions of civil authority, for those who've been entrusted with guarding the safety of our communities. One of our ACNA bishops, Bishop Eric Meniz from the Diocese of San Joaquin, he wrote these good, faithful, and pastoral words just a few weeks ago regarding a scriptural witness on this important issue. Bishop Meniz wrote, "A faithful Christian response must therefore hold together two truths: the responsibility of governments to uphold the rule of law and protect their borders, and the obligation to treat immigrants and refugees with justice, mercy, and compassion in accordance with God's law." Our Anglican tradition has long affirmed the Church's responsibility to care for refugees and immigrants while engaging society with moral clarity and charity. Respect for civil law must always be informed and corrected by God's higher law, which calls us to justice, dignity, and mercy. In the great litany that we pray as Anglicans, and we will pray it this Sunday, we pray into this call of loving our neighbors when we pray that it may please you to show mercy on all prisoners and captives, refugees, the homeless and the hungry, and all those who are desolate and oppressed. We beseech you to hear us, good Lord. We not only pray these words in our liturgy, we pray that we would be living prayers in and among all of our neighbors. Quite simply, my brother and sister, there is no true repentance without softening our hearts to the vulnerable in our nation. I encourage you to read Isaiah 58 again later today. Hear the Lord declare that He will not accept a fast that does not have the goal of loving our neighbors. But if we put our neighbors as a primary goal of our fasting, God promises repair and restoration in our land. He says through the prophet Isaiah, "If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in." Earlier this year, I shared a spiritual direction for our parish, a goal for the entire year, that we renew our love for the Word of God. I've learned in my life as a Christian, one of the greatest tests of my love for the Word of God is what I do with the Scriptures I find most demanding. Will I embrace the difficult Word or not? Will I welcome the commands from the Lord that call me out of myself? Will I welcome the Scriptures that uncover the state of my heart? Will I welcome the verses that reveal my selfishness? That's when I find out whether I love and trust the Word of God or not. Lent is a season when we not only turn more intentionally to the Word of God, we face the Word of God in all of its fullness, the whole counsel of God. And we submit ourselves, as we Anglicans say and profess, we submit ourselves to live in accordance with all that our Lord teaches. That's the calling of repentance with Scripture in Lent. One of the most important phrases we have as Anglicans is this phrase, true repentance. True repentance. It's a phrase that we will hear in a moment in the priest's absolution after we confess our sins. This is what we pray, we desire. Give us a true repentance. You know, repentance, it means an about face. And this Lent, I hope that about face will be especially turning towards the goal. the goal of Lent, the goal of the Christian life. So whatever actions make up your repentance, true repentance turns you towards the goal, the simple goal that is Jesus' commandment of love. Love God above all other loves. Love Him with everything you have. Love your neighbor as yourself, like a second self. My observance of Lent should benefit my neighbor. My neighbor should be better off by Easter because I've kept Lent. But most of all, my Lenten practices should bless and they should be pleasing to the Lord. So hang everything you do in Lent, Scripture, prayer, fasting, service, almsgiving, hang it on that great commandment of Jesus, our ultimate goal. And we will be changed more and more into lovers. That's His goal for us. We will be changed more and more into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is our goal, His goal for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we adore and worship, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.